Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Are you doing this thing by faith? Because if you were doing it by faith, the time will not come that your faith will fail. Amen. Do you get the idea now? But because you are not even really doing it by faith, since you did not directly ask God about whether it is Him or it is not Him, of course, if it is not of God, the thing will mutate into all manner of things as it mutated into. And as from what she said, I know that these meetings are not biblical. You understand? But the fault is not those people. They were on their own. The fault is you, because you can't be forced to do anything that you don't want to do. Okay? If I was chosen for that kind of thing, and I ask God and it tells me that He didn't send me there, I would just simply go to them. Thank you for this position, but I have prayed about it. I have no conviction. I'm the one that's supposed to be there. If anybody insists that you must do it, and the person doesn't know God, because whatever you do must come from conviction, it must come from faith, you must believe what you're doing. You understand? But many times, many of us don't even know what we believe. You understand? We don't even know what we believe. So, it's easy for people to just drive us here and there. I say, are you then telling me that I am wrong, that what God told me is not true? That's not the point. The point is that I have no conviction about what I'm doing. And even secular people respect every other person else's faith. Whether it is this tree that you call your God, people respect you for that. At least that's what you have chosen, that is your God. So how much more church? Okay, so that's the answer to the question. Whatever that is not of faith is sin. Questions before we begin this morning? Yes.
We have come to the point where this is all about service. I think I was listening to somebody and the person was saying that in the Old Testament, God will tell you that serve me. If you don't serve me, if you serve me, just like Deuteronomy 28, I'll bless you, bless in this, you'll be blessed in that. If you don't, curse and all that. But in the New Testament, it's different. In the New Testament, God keeps pointing out about love. We see Him love, pointing out love. He asks Peter, do you love me? He said, those that love me will keep my commandments. He was talking about love and love. And he said, God loves a cheerful giver. So, and he was talking about that there is dead works, there is good works, there is bad works. Now, he said, dead works are works that we did out of no love for God. We just did it because, you know, so I think this on this aspect, looking at the part where we do services or we render services to God and we are not in love, it's not done out of love. What do you think? Is it the same thing that it is applicable that all the service that we are doing, we should watch out for it so that we won't get to a point where at the end of it, I think there was this something said, all our works will pass through fire. You know, and all those things. So I think maybe you should expatiate on that.
I want to understand your question. I understand the how far you have come.
John Dams. Yeah. People go to church, they sing, and if it's not done, what it is coming is vibrant, like, you know, they will say. It's not the reason, it's not love.
Okay.
Would the person have any reward? Would the person have...
Okay. Very good question. But, you see, I think... okay, go ahead. You want to add to the same question? Okay.
So, come.
I can't hear you.
In relation to conviction.
In relation to conviction.
Yes. Is it... out of love? Or if you are doing something, then you are doing it out of love.
Okay, will it be correct to say if I'm doing something out of love, that is out of conviction. That's very
equal to
doing, is it equal to doing it on the basis of conviction? Very good question. But it would be good that we begin in answering from this point. What point? How dangerous is it to be involved in service for God without love? I think we should begin from there. So that from then, I could then go into... What was that? His own question again. Okay, that what... Would there be reward and all that? Then would then end with your own. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, precisely from verse 21 to 23, Jesus speaking, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of my Father, but those who do the will of my Father. For on that day, many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did you not do many wonderful works in your name?'" He said, "But I will say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity." If you read the NLT translation, NLT first edition, 1996 edition, it says, "And I will say to them, depart from me, for the work that you did was not authorized." Amen. Now, according to 1 Corinthians 3, from verse 11 to 15, everybody's work will pass through the fire. Is it not so? And then, if your works pass through the fire and at the end of it, it abides, fine. And we're told that we can build either with gold, silver, or precious stones. Or we could build also with hay, wood, or stubble. Of course, you know very, very well that one set of materials to build with is found on the surface. It's found on the surface of the ground. Wood, hay, stubble. Stubble is simply grass, okay? Hay is also grass, but it's like the grass that they use for thatched roof and animal feed and some other things like that. Of course, we all know wood. So all of those things are found where now? On top of the ground, okay? But the second set of materials to build with, gold, silver, precious stones, are found underneath or beneath the earth. Which simply means that it's not easy for you to see them. But that's where... Now, when God says build with gold, what's he talking? And what will he mean? You understand? Because if we don't understand, we'll be looking for gold. If we don't understand what he meant by silver, we'll be looking for silver. If we don't understand what he meant by precious stones, we'll be looking for precious stones. But since the Bible is its own best Bible commentary, okay, it's always good to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Amen. Now, among metals, what class is gold? Among metals, what class do we put gold? Number, what is gold? Huh? Sorry? Number one. What about silver? Number two. Because we mentioned gold, what do we say again? We say silver. Okay? In Matthew chapter 22, from verse 36 to 38, somebody was asking Jesus a question. What is the greatest commandment in the law? In the Amplified Translation, Classic Edition, they said, "Some commandments are light, which ones are heavy?" That's how they asked it. He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first commandment. Then he now said that you shall also love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second commandment. Amen. So, God said, "Build with gold." So what is gold? From the scripture I just quoted. Love for God. See that now. What is silver? Love for fellow man. Okay? In, I can't remember the passage, but I think it's in Matthew. I may look for it. Jesus was using different things to explain the kingdom of God. And he said that the kingdom of God is like a merchant, a pearl merchant, okay, who deals in pearls, whom he said is like a precious stone that a man found in a field, okay, and for the joy that he got from it, he covered it back, went to sell all that he possessed, so that I can. And by buying that field, what happens to him now? He owns the precious stone in there. Then the next verse now says that it's also like a merchant, okay, who deals in pearls, who when he found a pearl of great worth, he went to sell everything he has to buy it. So then, what is precious stone? According to that place in 1 Corinthians 13, it is simply the value that you place on the kingdom of God. Amen. So therefore, whatever, when we are talking about ministry and ministering, whatever a person does out of love for God, love for his fellow man, and the value that he has placed upon the kingdom of God, of course he will be rewarded for that. So how dangerous is it now if the person singing doesn't love God? He will be fulfilling Mark chapter 7, that where from verse 7 where Jesus said, "Where did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? These people draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me." So even when somebody is singing, "He is Lord," Jesus knows he's not the Lord over that life. He knows it's not anything. Amen. So what's the point in singing, "He is Lord, He is Lord, Amen"? He has risen from the dead. You don't even believe in the resurrection. I'm not saying you don't know that he resurrected. I'm not saying you don't agree that he resurrected. I say you don't believe. That if you don't believe in the power that comes from that resurrection, you don't believe in what it can do for you and what it can do in your own life. And the person is singing. That's why there's so much powerlessness in music ministry today in church. That's why. And that's why everybody has instead turned to entertainment. Since it seems that the matter is very serious. So, in answering your question, you need this kind of foundation. When something is not done out of love, it won't count for you. It will count against you. Amen. Do you understand? Jesus said, "He that does not gather with me is scattering what I'm trying to gather." It's better to sit down and not minister than minister out of hatred. For if you don't have love, what will you have? It's hatred. And what is the love of God? According to 1 John 5:3, said, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." How does God understand love? When you are saying, "I just love God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." As you are singing like that, what does it interpret to God? What does it mean to God? Eh? That as you are saying, "I love you," you are saying what? "I will keep your commandment. I will keep your commandment." And God understands that you love him. So when and where somebody doesn't keep his commandment and is claiming to love him, he's still fighting people in the same choir. There are people, when he sees them, his face will change. You can't even come to pray if you have sent something against another person. How much more to minister? You don't understand. And prayer is you and God. It's not about anything, just you and God. You can't even do that well. God won't accept. How much more now ministry? That God, it's okay that I have issues, though, but you know, you can still use me like that. If you can, you know, and many of you listen to those American songs. If you can use anything, God doesn't use anything. Amen. If you can use anything, you can use me. I think that's a song like that. There's a line of song like that. If you can use anything. Who told you he uses anything? Say, in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of clay. If any man purges himself from this, that's when he becomes a vessel unto honor. sanctified, meet for the master's use. And then it becomes ready for any good work. Vessel of what again? Gold and silver. So therefore, it becomes a vessel separated unto what? Honor. The basis of ministry is love for God and love for fellow men. What did I say? In answering your question, you cannot have faith in somebody you do not know and you do not love. You don't know. Conviction is simply faith. Is it not so? Do you have faith in the Okada man, Okada rider? The one that brought you this morning? Eh, sister? Do you have faith in him, the Okada man? You don't understand my question, no? Do you have faith in him beyond that he took you on Okada? Can you, as he dropped you, maybe there's no check, can you leave your bag there that you want to come inside to look for? That's what I meant. You can't. Why? You don't know him. So, it's not possible to trust somebody that you don't know. It's not possible to believe somebody that you don't know. Neither is it possible to trust somebody that you don't love. Now, belief or faith, it starts from hope, then trust. That's the whole school of faith. It begins with an expectation. It continues with, yes, I action on this basis. Then, you trust. Or when you've known this person, this person has proved his love. What happens to you now? You trust. That is the answer to your question. So, that basis, on the basis of our personal knowledge of God and our love for God, because we have seen his love for us, we trust him. We have faith in him. So therefore, there abided only three things: faith, hope, and what? And love. And the greatest of these is love. So faith and hope and love, they work together. Amen. Okay? So I think we've answered that question. Is there any other question? Okay, we should stop these questions by 10 so that we can go into the teaching. A round of applause. Good question. Very strong question. How do I know that my service to God is done out of love? Okay. Several strange women. How can I? Your first question is, how can I test my work, so my service, to be sure that it's done out of love? Abi, very good question. It's simple. In your own life as a Christian, make the word of God your first consideration and final authority. Or in other words, simply obey the word of God as a lifestyle, not because you want to minister. Do you understand? When you are under the authority of God's word as a lifestyle, you will minister under the authority of God as a lifestyle. One of the greatest challenges for altar people, you know, when I say altar people, pastors and choir ministers and all that, is that because they minister, they confuse themselves to think that they are not obligated to obey the word of God. It's one of the greatest errors of our time. Somehow, pastors, because they teach from the Bible, think that Bible knowledge equals to obedience. It's not the same thing. Ezra 7 and verse 10, it says, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and then to teach.
his statutes and judgments in Israel. It's not enough that you know the Bible. Practice it as a lifestyle. Practice it in your home. Amen. So if your wife does something to you now, Brother Joshua, let the word of God overshadow everything. React and respond based on what the word of God says. React and respond based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not on the context, or not in the context of what she has done. Amen. When she begins to grow up, what will happen? She will begin to respond like that too. Simple. And see, that thing can come that says, why must I be the one to always apologize? Why must I be the one to always make peace? Amen. Because you are the one that wants your service to be what? To acceptable before God. That's all. That's all. You can't go to God and say, see what she has done. See, no, you can't. Why did he make you a man? Amen. So, there may be time when your wife will need a rebuke, for instance. You rebuke her and move on. So, even if she sees you in her face somehow, leave the matter and continue your life as, because you have dealt with it and you've left it. After a while, a woman will grow up and come into it. Love for God first, then love for your fellow man second. So if your ministry is based on the fact that you love God and you love people, you love them so much that, and see, how do you prove that you love people? Jesus said, whatsoever you want people to do to you, the same do to them. That's all. Okay? And that's one side of it. The other side of it is the way you love yourself, the way you think about yourself, think about others like that. Simple. That's what it means to love others as yourself. Once your ministry is on that basis, you won't have any problem. You understand? Then, whatever consistency, be consistent in doing these things I've talked about, then you'll be consistent. Simple. But the Bible is not difficult. It's very simple. Make it a life project that you will obey the word of God. Simple. No matter what it will cost you. That's all. And that's the answer to the question. Thank you. Good question. Is there any other question before our time is up for questions?
My question is about something you taught yesterday. You said when he ministers, you who attend, it's a privilege on your own part.
Yes.
It's not like he's doing it because of you. He's actually praising God and worshiping God.
Yes.
So he does it and enjoys it. So it made me to also realize that I've not actually been a good music minister myself.
Okay.
Because I know I'm a minister of the word, but I never ever thought I am a minister of music, even though I sing, okay, praise and worship on weekly days like that, okay, for service. So I now want to ask, because recently I discovered that at times when I begin to sing and it gets to the praise section and I see people dancing, it's like it catches my attention. You know, that kind of a thing. So I want to know, how do I move from looking at what the people around me do, whether they are dancing or not, to focusing on God and centering my worship towards Him?
A round of applause. Very good question. You do that by ministering to God. That's simply the answer. I mean, I'll explain, but that's the answer. How do you minister to God? Funny enough, I'm not a music minister, but I'm a worship leader. You see, it's funny. And when I'm opportune to minister, not before people actually, but to God, my songs, as I sing, I bring in things God has done. I let it play in my heart. You understand? In my mind's eye. how God helped me, how He delivered me. So when I'm singing, He knows what I'm saying. Now, why I knew that that's what Domain does, because that's how I worship. If you are there, you are only lucky to be there. It's not about you. I'm just simply telling God what He has done for who now? For me. And because what I'm saying is genuine and true, it will affect you because it's coming from life. You understand now? It's coming from real life experiences of trust in God and the reward of trust and faith in God. So let's say I want to sing, let's say I'm singing praise now. You know, may God deliver us from singing, what's that English word? We sing as a routine. Mm-hmm. So after this song, what's the next song that should follow? This other one. Then after this one finishes, this one. Whether it means anything or not, as long as people are dancing, then something's happening. May God deliver us. You know, that's how we minister. But let us say, for instance, I had a police case, and I'm not telling you fiction. I'm telling you something that happened. Some people called me. I think there was an issue that happened. I counseled a couple who impregnated themselves and haven't married correctly. And I told them that you are not married, because they were not married. So one way or the other, it became a police case, and they want to turn it on me that I'm the one that separated them. So I was asked, I was invited by the police. Apparently they bribed the policeman that called me to come. So it was a concluded deal. You know, I was going to be the person held responsible. When I got to the police station, I found out that there was so much juju at work. You understand? And because I went unprepared. By the time I got home that day, I told God, I said, Lord, I'm afraid. The way this thing is going, I'm afraid. And He spoke to me and He told me, since they said we should come the following day, and He said that you don't need to fight in this battle. Just come and see the salvation that I will wrought on your behalf tomorrow. That's all. You won't need to open your mouth and say anything. Just come. Do you know that's exactly what happened? And I saw how God could deliver a person. Now, when I sing a song like, you have been my defense and refuge, defense in the days of my troubles, oh Lord, I sing your praise. As I'm singing, those kind of things play in my heart. That's how I worship. So He knows that I'm not doing church. Oh, do you understand what I'm saying? He knows I'm thankful for what He has done. I'm bringing back the memory of His great goodness to me. So when you see me cry, I'm not doing it to say, oh man, we're passionate, God, we're minister. No! I'm only crying because I'm not acting. I'm not performing. I'm actually ministering to who? To God. To appreciate Him and thank Him. That's that. So even if it's not praise, let's say a song like I would dance because I have a father. You understand? How do you sing it? As I'm singing that song, I'm praying. You don't understand? That Lord, everything I have, I'm using it to praise you now. So what will happen? I will dance. You can't be saying, you are insulting God. Because you have legs, you can dance. And what are you doing? You are strolling. You can clap very well. You are not clapping very well. Even the mind is how you get to show the as soon as you this soul service finish, so that you can block that person. There's that empty or absent-mindedness type of worship and praise. There's the entertainment level. Paso. Baba, Baba, and your one leg is off. And everybody says, hey, they're healing you. You are not ministering. Do you understand? What are you doing? You are performing. Like we said yesterday, instead of prophesying, what are you doing? You are playing. You get. But imagine that somebody who was in serious trouble is singing that kind of song. Bobonti money mofi ono go baba baba o baba baba me loke baba. The same song. It's just that if you are not instructed in the song of the Lord, you know there's a Bible verse like that. Huh? You do all these things that what the people do. Then you wonder why is it that when you minister things don't happen. It's because you are separated from your ministration. The same thing that pastors do. When they preach to people, they think they are above their preaching. You don't. Your first audience that message should go to is who? You yourself. And that's why you are ministering. So, as you are ministering, you are ministered unto. Because you too can take something away from that. In the midst of all that worship, see, when I worship God, the way it goes for me is like, as one song is going on, the Holy Spirit will say, three more times. So when I'm sang, by the time I'm just about to, I worship or I minister in songs by faith. How? I won't even know the next line. You know, some of you have written in your hand what you are going to do before you come. I minister by faith. And just when that one is about to end, you will say this one next. Except you have never been where I minister in worship. You won't understand what I'm talking about. You have been there before, Joshua. Who else? You've been there before. No, those times, though. Not now. What normally happens? You see people falling down, weeping. Just worship, oh. Well, the sermon has not started. If I want to preach like this, if I'm led to worship, I won't even remember that you are here. Do I look at time? So, many times before we even preach at all, but you come. Speak, Lord. You understand? So that's what you're supposed to do. Okay? Minister to God. If it is praise, praise Him because of what He has done for you and because of what He's doing for you. If it's worship, worship Him for who He is in your life, for who He is, you know, in the world as you've seen Him. That's how to go about it. Okay? All right. This will be the final question.
Sir, you said something about not writing lines of songs.
Yes.
For example, where is the place of preparation? Maybe I'm trying to rehearse for administration the following day. So how then do I balance
the round of applause? Very good question. Funny enough, I didn't say you shouldn't write songs in your hand. I only said that some of you write songs in your hand. Was that okay? Arrangement. Okay. I was talking about writing songs or arrange songs in your hand. Huh? The problem with it is that it doesn't give room to the Holy Spirit to minister through you. That you forgot the songs doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit will forget. Does God forget anything? The answer is no. Now, begin your preparation by separating yourself unto Him. Not because you want to minister, but as a lifestyle. Okay? And don't ever go up there to minister without praying for the hearts of the people and without asking God what does He want to say. What kind of songs does He want to hear? You understand? When I prepare for meetings, I'm the one that supplies the hymns that we sing. Because as the prayers are going on or as the preparation is going on, He says, I want this song. I don't know who is coming. God knows who is coming. And He knows what He wants to do with this song or that song or that. You understand? So I write them out. We don't sing the first one last. Okay? Who was at the last retreat that we held? The last retreat. Did you see the arrangement of all the hymns? Did you see how it matched all the messages? Okay, so, there's nothing wrong in preparing and in asking God, which song would you want us to sing first? Which should it be this? Should it be that? You know, it is sad that in church, the only type of songs that we have is just praise. And when we begin to minister now, you will see that church song is more than praise and worship. There are songs of warning. There are songs of what? to warn. There are songs of redemption. It's not praise. It's not worship. We are just singing to God because of His power. How He redeemed man back to Himself and all of that. There are several types of songs. Songs of judgment. Songs of what? Songs of threatening. They are there in the Bible. You will see them today. But you know, what's our own? Praise? Worship. As I was going through one of those songs yesterday, a prophetic song. They are prophetic songs. Songs that came from prophecy. God told me, said, ask them. If I say that people are rebels, would they be able to sing? You are a rebel. The Lord is saying you are a rebel. I'm not saying that, I've just formed that one now. But the idea is that will you be able to call God what God is calling them? Call people what God is calling them. Do you notice that it is a song minister's weakness? They need to be supported by those listening. You are not hearing me. They need to be approved and supported and appreciated by those listening to the ministration. Do you know that that's not your work? I don't know how you are going to be telling someone that you are stiff-necked. And except you repent, you will perish. And the person will still clap for you. Do you understand? But then that's what God is saying. That except they repent, they will perish. And that you must go and sing it. Yesterday was introduction. Today is actually the sermon. But we needed that background. Do you understand? If we had just come, that's what you say. So we needed to have the whole of yesterday to clear some ground or some bushes. So there's nothing wrong with preparation. Okay? But then, what it means that you're a minister is not that there's only two suits or two clothes that you have bought for God. Praise. Worship. So if God must speak, what must happen? Either it's peace, praise, or it's peace, worship. Let him not say another thing else. Don't forget, you are supposed to prophesy with what? Instruments, lyrics, and voices all together in symphony. Amen. And prophecy, because we must understand, prophecy to be able to prophesy. Please remind me as I'm teaching so that we can get there. Okay? But there's what prophecy is meant for. Is that edification? Is that rebuke? You understand? So, it's about four things like that prophecy is meant for. So you know that if I'm prophesying with songs, what's supposed to happen? It could either be this or that. There are songs of prayer. Like this hymn, pass me not, O gentle Savior. It's a prayer. Don't pass me, as we are reaching other people, don't pass me. When you come to collect your people, remember me, O Lord. It's a prayer. Okay? So it's not just all about praise and worship. No, songs in the church is far more than that. Okay? The Lord help us in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for this introduction. Glory to your name. As we begin, Lord, speak in the name of Jesus. That which you have in mind, that made you to summon us, Lord, speak in Jesus' name. Thank you because you are faithful. Glory, glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The title of this message is Bring Me a Minstrel. Bring me, the me in capital letter. Bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. Then underneath it you write prophesying. Prophesying with instruments or with prophesying with lyrics, instruments, and voices. We will not be able to deal today with the issue of symphony, okay? I know we touched a bit yesterday, okay? When we are coming next again for this meeting, we'll deal with that. when we are looking at healthy choirs, their rehearsals, their ministry and their ministrations, okay? We'll look at all of that. How then can, after I've been able to become a minstrel in myself, how can we now achieve having a group of minstrels? You understand? All of that we'll look at, not today, when next God calls us for this meeting. Don't worry, since we have your details, we'll let you know when it is time. Prophesying with lyrics, instruments, and voices. After God spoke to me the things that we learned yesterday, before this meeting started, I sensed that something else remained, that I haven't touched it, that there's still something that remained. And the Lord said, yes, I want you to bring me minstrels. So as I was praying, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want to say? I thought maybe you would take me to the book of Psalms. At least King David is still nearer to singing. Then all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say to me, the songs of Moses. That took me off balance. What do we know Moses as? Prophet Moses. Which one is song? But funny enough, I have seen it before in scripture that some songs were attributed to Moses, but I didn't really. Moses. Singer. Prophet Moses. So, I went into my Bible and I could see at least three songs. At least how many songs? We're going to look at all of them. Attributed to Moses. One was a song of victory that he sang to God while the people were there. The other was a song of warning and judgment to come that God asked him to sing just before he died. Okay? And the third one is a song that Moses will sing in our own future. Amen. That one is a song of redemption. In fact, it was called this, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Even Jesus to our songs. Amen. So when God is saying, bring me a minstrel, and he said, the song of Moses, and I understood it. Oh, okay. What does God mean? What is he talking about? Bring me prophets and prophetesses. Whose ministry will be as powerful as the ministry of Moses. Except that, what are they? They minister in songs. Amen. Bring me what? Prophets and prophetesses in the spirit. Just as I say, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Have you? In the spirit and power of who? Moses. Except that, what do they use to minister now? Songs. That's what this is about. So that's begin to look at the songs of Moses, the prophet of God, and the song of Miriam, the prophetess. So that it is clear to you that song ministry is far more than being an entertainer and somebody that leads praise and worship in church on Sunday. Amen. And I just suddenly feel very sad now. Do you know why? Several of the people who were here yesterday are not here now. And this is when God will release what he wants to release. Amen. I almost wish that new people won't come and it will be the same people. But then, that's the way God works. Exodus chapter 15. Let us start from there. Exodus 15 from verse 1.
Then Moses,
yes,
and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has hurled both horse and rider into the sea.
Please hold on. Even though that song continued till verse 19. Huh? Is it not strange to you that Prophet Moses is singing? I'm asking you. Have you ever attributed music to Moses? Moses singing. What Moses does, he stands and declares. Is it not so? And fire will fall from heaven. He will strike River Nile with his rod or his staff. And River Nile will turn to blood. He will strike the Red Sea with his rod. And it will part, and people will walk on the depth of it. Now imagine such life. A man who sees God face to face singing. Do you understand me if you're a music minister here? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? When you sing from such a walk with God, what will happen to the listeners, to those who are listening to such songs? What will happen to their lives? Go ahead.
The Lord is my strength and song.
Yes.
And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces.
Please hold on. Who is singing here? And then as a sound, the children of Israel will accompany, they will follow what the words that he's saying. Who is Moses talking to in this song? Huh? Are you following me? Who is he talking to? God. Who is he ministering to? God. Now, I want you to imagine that you are in church or you are ministering. And it's actually, this song that you are singing is a conversation between God and you. Are you following? It's a conversation between God and you. There's this sound. I don't know whether it is drum or jitter, Dunwen song. The instrumentalist that played that sound was talking to God. He was telling God some things. Even when we listen to the album, you just know it's a mystery. Something is going on there. And it was between that guy and God. Please follow me very carefully. You understand? Because I believe that at the end of this teaching, something will happen to your life. You will step out of singing. You will step into ministry. Because as we're just reading that verse, I just saw he was talking things that my thoughts have remained as mere mysteries that wouldn't understand. That when the Red Sea opened though, and the people walked, we won't know that the depths were congealed. It became like frozen walls. Is there another translation? In the deepest part of the sea, the water has become thick, solid.
As though it was frozen.
Solid, as though what? It was frozen. In the depth of the sea. How can you have ice block? No, I can't even call it ice block. Ice wall. I think that's what I call it. Ice walls. Not Antarctica or North Pole, where we know it's normal for those things to be there. Mediterranean in a desert, where normally the water should be warm. Frozen walls on the other side, and people pass through all night. You know, while we must keep reminding ourselves of these things, is because this is the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same person that we say we believe. So when we sing of His great goodness, He should be present. Are you getting it? Convicting the hearts of people. Not that we are using those methods that we use to convince people. The way we play skillfully, our air-conditioned auditoriums. You know, those are the things that we use to show that God is with us. We should go to Dubai. They even have better air-conditioned auditoriums. And they are not saved. If they die now, they are going to hell because they are not saved. The waters were frozen. They became thick and solid. Frozen. Do you notice it wasn't all the waters of the sea that was frozen? Because if that had happened, all the animal life there would die. No, it's just where they were passing by. It's just walls so that the waters would not cave in on them. Read on.
The enemy said,
I will pursue.
I will overtake. I will divide the spoil.
Yes.
My desire shall be satisfied on them.
Mm.
I will draw my sword.
How did he know what Pharaoh was thinking? Prophecy. Can only know that kind of thing by prophetic revelation. God showing him what they were thinking as he was singing. And this was the thought of Pharaoh and his armies. We are going to destroy them today. We will destroy them. Yes?
My hands shall destroy them.
Mm.
You blew with your wind.
Lord, you blew with your wind.
The sea covered them. They sank like lead.
They sank like lead.
In the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord?
Hold on. We are going to sing verse 11 together. Amen. Amen. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, hallelujah. Yeah, that's where that song came from. Word for word. It was a song within a song. Amen. Who is like you? Among all the gods, who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Yes?
You stretched out your right hand.
Mm.
The earth swallowed them.
Mm.
You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation.
Mm.
The people will hear and be afraid.
Mm.
Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia.
Mm.
Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them.
Hmm.
All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away.
Hmm.
Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. Till your people pass over, Lord, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea.
20-21.
Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand.
Miriam, the who?
Prophetess.
Prophetess. Can you see that now? So it's not just prophet when he says, bring me a minstrel. He's looking for prophets, he's looking for prophetesses. We are at a period of time when battens have been changed. The old people who stood for God, as far as music is concerned all over the world, their time has come to go home. And they must hand over. So God is saying, bring me a minstrel, bring me people who will be qualified to take the baton and continue. Yes? She took the timbrel. Timbrel is like a small drum. Yes?
And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.
Amen. Are you following? And I thank God that Miriam the prophetess was included. Because what is a female prophet called? Huh? A prophetess. That's the name of a female prophet. This particular song is a song of victory that was revealing to us the purpose of God, what God had done, so that generations unborn can understand it. And because it's a holy song, it is part of scripture today. When you read it, you won't even know that it's a song. As we're going to go to another passage that you never even knew it was a song. It was a song. This is about victory. The next one I want to look at is about judgment and warnings. Because judgment will fall on the need to be careful. So music ministry is never about entertainment. It's never about people liking you. No. It is a prophetic ministry. What kind of ministry is music ministry? It's prophetic. Whatever it is that God has put inside your heart to sing per time, that's what you sing. It's not about dancing and giving them a lujo and all of those things that it has become now today. It is a serious ministry. It's not a playing ministry. It is a prophetic ministry. That's what the Bible says. David appointed this man who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and all instruments of music. It's a prophetic ministry. Can I even tell you that while there are evangelists in music ministry, it is more prophetic than evangelistic. But all our music people, once you ask an album, what are you? It is sad. It is sad because our people remain untaught. So they don't know. And an evangelist can't do the work of a prophet because it's not the same thing. The moment you have an album and you are singing, you must be an evangelist. Evangelist this, evangelist that. Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Are we there? We will start from verse 14. We'll stop at verse 22. Okay? Then I'll begin to explain. Then you stop at verse 22. Then you read verse 30. Okay? Then we'll see the song in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy from verse 1 to around verse 40. This was God talking to Moses about what Israel will become after Moses has gone. And it was to prophesy it in song, what's going to happen. And when you look at Deuteronomy 32, and you look at the later history of Israel, that's exactly what happened. It was a song of judgment. Because it talked about how they will be dispersed, how God will be against them. And that's how I was saying, Lord, will these people sing if you tell them to sing that the church has gone into idolatry and church people have gone after idol worship and idols? Would they sing? Would they not be afraid of being thrown out? Yes, from verse 14. I'll be stopping you as I'll be explaining, okay? Please prepare your questions so that when we are done, you can ask your questions, okay? Amen. Please go ahead now.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
yes.
Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and these people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them.
Please hold on. I want you to begin to follow more closely now, okay? The reason being that this song is a message of God to the body of Christ today. Amen. And who is he sending to go and sing it? Huh? You don't know. Huh? Look at your neighbor telling me. So please follow closely. I'll be explaining. And as God is speaking, I'll be explaining what those words mean. When? Now. In today's church. And why God is saying what he's saying. I have said it in prophecy before now, things will not be better. Amen. As the coming of Christ draws nearer and nearer, the church will get more perverted and perverted until all that remains is a remnant within the church. Have you waiting for the coming of Jesus? They'll be faithful to the Lord. But God will not do anything without giving a witness. Do you understand? He will not keep quiet without pointing to this and this will happen, so that when it happens, it won't be that God has not warned about it. You will become a watcher, and your singing will change in the name of Jesus. Yes. It says, you shall sleep with your fathers, and these people will rise up and go a whoring or prostituting after the gods of the strangers of the land where you go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. They will go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. When we talk about breakthrough today in church, what are we talking about? You don't understand. I should break it down for you. I will. No problem. You will understand. When we talk about breakthrough and my star rising, my glory shining, what are we talking about? If you want to use one word, what are we talking about? Amen. What are we talking about? You don't know. Okay, I will help you. Everyone that says my glory will not shine. In the name of Jesus, I begin to shine now. That shining, what does it mean? Physically, when we are testifying that we are now shining, what are we talking about? Prosperity? Eh? Success? Money? Eh? Fame? The gods of the strangers of the land wherein we dwell. What did Jesus call money? You cannot serve both God. So what is mammon? What is money? What kind of thing is money? I'm asking you. Huh? You don't know what money is. Huh? It's a god. It's an idol. What is the number one thing that church is loyal to today? Eh? It's money. God said they will go after idols. There are people here whom God will want to make songwriters out of. You will write songs that even you don't know is possible to be written. And it will be a warning to them, to the body of Christ, so that they know. You are already going to idols, so you are already worshipping and bowing down to them. Because why is it that all our services, church services, okay, are put at times that will not affect our work? Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Huh? Speak up. You say what? So that I can bring money in. Stabilize. You say what? So we can bring the process of it work to church. Okay? Who else? So that more people can have time to talk, to come. Since what they are doing, they have no time. How come Bible study and prayer meeting always looks as if the church has lost so many members to death? And when they are coming on Sunday in their costume and are wearing the things that money has bought, we have not been worshiping God in a long time. We have been serving several gods. And so God must give witness so that when the choir stands up to minister, what you are singing is not, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good to me. No. What you begin to sing will be, come back. Come back. Lost soul. Come back. Deacon, where have you gone? Come back. Come back. Come back. Lost soul. Amen. Sunday school teacher, you only have time to search through the Bible Saturday night. Come back, come back. Come back. Come back. Lost soul. one or two things will happen. It's either the pastor will call you and say, what is all this? What's happening? And they will warn you, don't sing this song anymore. Then you open that place in the Bible that says it is better that we obey God rather than men. When you sing that, when you say come back on this Sunday, following Sunday, you are singing, listen to the song. I slept last night. Suddenly my eyes opened. Jesus has come. You know, people start putting someone on their seat. Jesus has come. They're like, my brother, pardon, you know I'm not a musician, so pardon, just listen to my words. You are getting it, Ali. My brother, you were at viewing center last night, arguing, betting whether Baka or Man U will win. You got home waiting for food. Everywhere was deserted. Honey, you call. My children, where are you? You call. Somebody, you call. But no one answered. Why? Jesus has come. He has gone. Jesus has come. Where are you? That's second Sunday. Amen. Third Sunday is about a song about how people dress fine and they come to church. Do you understand? How they dress fine and the moment they come. That song is about whitewashed walls. That is, people pretending to be what they are not. They dress fine, but what happens on the inside? They are dirty and defiled on the inside. I'm trying to find a tune for that one. Because you describe all the gele, all the high heel shoes, all the everything, and when they come, and you're like, and the angel of the Lord came in, sniffing, sniff. You're looking at the choir. What are they saying? Something is smelling, sniff. Something is smelling, sniff. Something is smelling, sniff. What is it? Everybody was wondering, what is it? What is it? Then, by the time you quote that scripture, that whitewashed walls, but inside you are full of dead men's bones. Something is happening in this church. You know, those that are dedicated to the devil, they will find another church. Are you getting it? But those who want to change, suddenly they begin to think, and if the pastor wants to come and preach before, rejoice, he will warn himself. But you can't sing rejoice when you have just finished that kind of ministration. You know, he would not do what can he say? Then the Holy Spirit will remind him of the scripture that song came from. That's where he should continue from. He will preach powerfully. And he will remember his early days as a Christian. When he used to be vibrant. Bring me what? After this, all what you have been doing in ministry has been to be romancing the ego of people on their way to hell. You don't even have the decency to tell them, wait, watch. Oh, are you where you are going? The road that you are going, are you sure? If me that cannot sing can form this type of songs, and you know it was on point. It's not, it was on point. What will happen if you who can sing write this, even these same songs I've talked about now, if you write it to sing it in your church? There's a need for new songs in the body of Christ. All these overused, tired, overly recycled, remixed, songs. They are saying, let us die, let us die, let us die. We have sung them until there's no more life in them. They don't move anybody anymore. You know now, you know. Sleep, Steph. Sleep, Steph. Something is smelling. Sleep, Steph. My brother, could it be your life? My brother, could it be your life? My sister, something is smelling. In fact, everybody says, thank God it's not me. You describe in songs how they live at home. You are smelling. Sleep, Steph. You are ministers of God. What are you? So minister, stop playing. Prophesy, stop playing. Yes? He said they will go a hurrying after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and they will forsake me. That's a song. They will do what? This one. This is now the fourth Sunday. As people are coming, they are already weary of the choir because they don't. They will attack us again. Then you began singing. It is dawn again. It is dawn again. It is dawn again. How will my day begin? Then you start describing. Look at that. I just woke up, rushed to the shower. Shower quickly. My Bible remains unopened. It is done again. Prayer must wait. It is done again. Scrubbing and praying. You know, that's what most people do. Please quiet. Pastor wants to be saying, say, choir, I want to thank God for what's happening. I don't know what's happening, but I want to thank God for it. That's what he will say. And you describe how people begin their day without God. You end by telling them how they are forsaking him. And now he's calling them back again. You are not an entertainer. What are you not? Neither should you be contented with merely just pleasing people and singing something that. You know, you didn't even touch their mind. Don't talk about their heart. And when you are done, they clap for you and they are on their way to hell. So they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Yes? 17.
Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day.
Is this what may happen or what will happen?
It will.
So if people are not warned about what is going to happen, would they not be victims? Huh? They'll be victims. Let it be that they heard the words of this song, they abused you. Let it be that they heard, they didn't change. Are you getting it now? Let it not be that on your account they didn't hear. For God will require their blood from your hand. Are you hearing me? He will. Yes?
And I will forsake them. And I will hide my face from them. They shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?
Amen. He said, I will forsake them. Can you imagine God forsaking a person? If the church has not been forsaken, how come our prayers are very loud and very long? And answers come in trickles. How come all the testimonies is about we bought the next car, there's this Jeep again, and the same power that can buy a car cannot make a person holy? Am I making sense? Am I the only one saying these things? How come it's like that? So I will forsake them. Yes? 18.
And I will surely hide my face in that day. Because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods. Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves.
Now therefore, who is talking now? God. Talking to who? Moses. What did he tell Moses?
Write down this song for yourself.
Write down this song. Yes.
And teach it to the children of Israel.
Ah, look at that one. You are not just going to minister. So the next song, whom do you worship? That's the title of the next song. He said, church, we are going to do this song together. Whom do you worship? What do you serve? Whom do you worship? What do you serve? Then he starts describing the different things people worship. How they worship their boss on the island. The one that likes to clean his car too much. The one that is living for his children. Whom do you worship? Whom do you serve? Whom do you worship? What do you serve? And the people just like, say, are you going to church today? I don't know. I'm still dealing with what they said last week. Or what they sang last week. God is looking for ministers. Yes? 19.
Put it in their mouth.
Put this song in their mouth.
That this song may be a witness.
So that this song can be a witness.
For me against the children of Israel.
Yes.
When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey.
Yes.
Of which I swore to their fathers.
Yes.
And they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat.
Yes.
Then they will turn to other gods and serve them. And they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them
this
as a witness.
This song will testify against them for a witness. Yes?
For it would not be forgotten in the mouth of their descendants.
Hmm.
For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them.
Verse 22 now.
Therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel.
Verse 30.
Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended.
Amen. He began to sing that song from verse 1 of chapter 32 all the way to around verse 40. And he was describing how God brought them out of Egypt, what they did in their rebellion, then what they are going to do when they get to the land, how evil they are. The Lord is looking for a minstrel. Amen. What is he looking for? A minister. Somebody that can sing on his behalf. You are not singing because of money. You are not singing because you want to wax an album. You are not singing because you want to be popular. You are not singing because you want to be known. But somebody who will, as a servant of God, as a prophet, as a prophetess, someone who can sing for him. Now, before I start, because we may not be able to go through all this song, okay? That's why I told you where it is. Next chapter, chapter 32, from verse 1 to around verse 40, okay? But then, what is prophecy? And what does he achieve? Okay? I want us to see that. Then I want us to see, am I qualified to go and minister on his behalf? And then we will conclude with the last song, the song of Moses that he's going to sing later in our own future. That saints will sing the song that Moses wrote. And then we'll begin to think of wrapping up, and then we can ask your questions after we have prayed. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. From verse 1 to 3, I want us to stop at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14, from 1 to 3.
Pursue love and desire.
Follow after charity.
And desire spiritual gifts.
And desire spiritual gifts.
Especially that you may prophesy.
Especially that what? Oh,
you may prophesy.
That you may prophesy. Please, can somebody else quickly read for us 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. Very quickly, 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1. What does it say? David and the leaders of the army
separated the sons of Asaph.
Separated the sons of Asaph.
Heman.
Heman
and Jeduthun.
And Jeduthun.
For special service.
For special service.
Their special service was to prophesy God's message.
Their special service was to prophesy God's message.
With harps.
With what?
Harps.
Harps.
Lyres.
Lyres.
And cymbals.
And cymbals. Amen. So, this prophecy I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians 14, does it apply and affect music people? Huh? Yes, because these people were separated to prophesy God's message. Sorry, no, to special service, Abby. Yes? Read it again.
Their special service was to
prophesy. This is their special service. This is what God is expecting of them. To prophesy
God's message.
God's message.
With harps.
And what they use to prophesy this message are harps.
Lyres. And cymbals.
And cymbals. Now, is it possible to prophesy without being a prophet? Huh? No. So, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, the Bible says what?
Love.
Follow love
and desire spiritual gifts.
And desire spiritual gifts.
But especially,
especially
that you may prophesy.
That you may prophesy. Verse 2.
For he who speaks in a tongue,
yes,
does not speak to men,
yes,
but to God.
Yes.
For no one understands him.
Yes.
However,
in
the spirit, he speaks mysteries.
He speaks mysteries.
But he who prophesies,
yes,
speaks edification.
So, you know, I told you that there are some things about prophecy. Number one is this. The purpose of prophecy is, number one, edification. Yes?
And exhortation.
Number two, exhortation. Exhortation could either include warning, reproof, okay, or encouragement, okay? Number three,
and comfort.
Comfort. So what is prophecy now? Edification.
Exhortation.
Exhortation. And comfort. That's the purpose of prophecy. So when God is saying, bring me a minstrel, what does he want? Somebody who can bring edification, who can bring songs that will build up people. Somebody who can bring exhortation, that is songs that can either warn, rebuke, or reproof people, or encourage them. Comfort, somebody who can comfort and console with songs as the role of a prophet. And when God is saying he wants minstrels, he wants song ministers who will be his own, this is what he expects them to be doing. Not that they should be singing calypso or Awilo or Fuji in the name of praising God. As if God doesn't have anything to say. This is what he wants to do. Do you notice that all the songs that we were singing the other time and you were all laughing, do you notice that it fell within that, these categories? Songs that you must write must fall within this category. You see that you are helping people to grow up, to know God more, to be built up, or you are exhorting them by warning them, by rebuking them, by reproofing them. You know, maybe you have never even heard a song of warning before. Do you notice? All the song and all the song writers and all the song singers are desperate to be in people's good books. Desperate. How could you have ministered and nothing happened to people? I wish that brother that asked that question is here. And you're expecting to be paid. What work have you done? Your work, my work, is more than just singing. God is looking for prophets and prophetesses through whom he can deliver his message. We have seen Moses now. We have seen Moses singing in victory to God. Abby? We have seen him singing warnings and songs of judgment. Abby? And he taught the people. Say, brethren, God said that this one we are going to do it together. Because the song is in first person pronoun. It is I. As I sing, repeat after me. Will I make it home? Oh yeah. Repeat after me. Will I make it home? 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 You get somebody thinking. I don't like thinking about that. But he has to think about it. Why? Because you have forced him. You have taught him a song. I know the thing about songs. It creeps in on you. So one night he goes to where he takes his shots. What will he start hearing inside him? Will I make it home? Will I make it? Will I? You understand? All these songs that you have had me sing here now, you are free to go and develop them. Are you hearing me? Begin something to show God that you are serious. Then you form all other wordings around it. If I want to make it home, things I have to start doing. Then you go back here. Will I make it home? Will I make it home? You change it to I want to make it home. Or I don't know. You shall know how you sing. You edify. You comfort. You come with songs of how God knows that it is not easy, but don't worry, I'll be there with you. I will lead you all through the way. That's comfort. So that the one who has been afraid that my strength is small can know that God thinks about him and God remembers him. I expect that as you read your Bible, you should see songs. Are you hearing me? That's what I expect you should be doing. Not because you are hunting for songs, but because that's your ministry. So what naturally happens now, as you are just studying, God begins to speak to you. This whole meeting came about because I was working and I was listening to music. And as I was listening to music, a backup singer was singing and God told me that what she's singing is not her life. Amen. Gather music ministers, tell them I'm not happy with them. That was how this whole meeting came about. Not the main singer, backup for the main singer. I don't even know the person. If I see the person on the road, I'm sure I'll just pass because I don't know who the person is. So that's not her life. And they don't know that there's more to music than all this thing that they are doing. And you need to gather them and warn them because while they don't know that they are ministers, I will judge them as ministers. Gather them to tell them. Gather them to warn them. So therefore, if I'm meant to edify, if I'm meant to prophesy, will I be qualified to prophesy? That's the next question. Will you be qualified to prophesy? Your own Bible study life, what is it like? Are you somebody who obeys the word of God yourself? And yet, God is saying today, bring me a minstrel. Bring me people, instruments that I can use. When it is time, will you choose to be counted among instruments that God can use? Will you? That's the question. What is the purpose of singing? Singing godly songs. For it is possible for a man to help others to heaven when he will not make it in himself. It's possible. So what's the point in singing mighty songs that will change others when the singer is not changed? How can this epileptic spiritual life that you have as a song minister carry the burden of God? How can it? We all know that Bible studies once a while. We all know it's not. You don't sit down to study. You don't. You only study once a while. And when you congratulate yourself, maybe you have done 30 minutes. A minister of God. You say, well, after all, it's just me. Jesus, amen. If somebody passing on the road see vision and tells you that they saw vision about you, start following them. Because you have no root. To be a minister who will prophesy with instruments, with voices, with lyrics. I hope you know that Satan will oppose you specially. Can I tell you that which Satan has done to the music ministry, that's where we are now in the church. This is what he has reduced music ministers to. Sexually immoral, proud, self-centered, and self-loving, self-worship. Somebody is leading worship of God and is appreciating his own voice. Self-worship, self-idolatry. No. I want you to tell yourself, these things must stop in me. You are not speaking again. You must stop in me. I must become one who serves God. Why will you be alive and God will be looking for others who will do what he sent you to this world to come and do? Why? As we are going to be praying this morning, so that when we are done with our prayers, we can then ask our questions. The Lord is asking, bring me a minstrel. And let us stand up. You are here. You want to tell him, Lord, yes, I know there's work to be done in me. Yes, I know I'm not perfect. But I want to be a minstrel. Since you have asked for a minstrel, I want to be useful. I want to be an instrument in this ministry. I want to be your instrument. Not just somebody who sings. I want you to come out here before the altar. Even as God says, bring me a minstrel. Let us come outside. If you want to tell him, Lord, I will bring you a minstrel. I will bring myself. Holy are you, Lord. All creation calls you God. Worthy is your name. Please come out if you're coming outside. Please come out. We worship your majesty. Awesome God. Awesome God. How great thou art. You are God. Mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow
and worship you.
Awesome God. Awesome God. Awesome God. How great thou art. You are Lord. Mighty are your miracles.
standing on of your holy name. Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow. And worship you.
Holy. Oh, holy. Are you Lord?
Are you Lord?
All creation.
Call you God.
Worthy, Lord, is your name.
We worship,
Lord, your majesty. Awesome God,
how great thou art.
You are God. Almighty are your name. Oh, Lord, I stand in awe
of your holy name.
Lord, we bow.
Lord, we bow.
Oh, Lord, we bow.
And worship you.
Awesome God.
How great thou art.
Oh, you are Lord. Mighty are your miracles. I stand in awe
of your holy name.
Lord, we bow
and worship you.
Holy. In front, I want you to kneel down before the Lord. It's not a man you have come before, it is God. And I want you to tell him, Lord, I have come. You have summoned that you want a minstrel. Lord, I have come. I want you to begin to talk to him. Lord, purge me and prepare me. Purge me, Lord, and prepare me. Cleanse me and prepare me. An instrument. Cleanse me, purge me, prepare me, Lord. An instrument that you can depend upon. An instrument that you can rely upon. Lord, claim me as your own in this ministry. claim me as your own. In this ministry, claim me as your own. I want to be a voice of God. I want to be a voice for God. Bible says, let everyone who speak as an oracle of God. I want to be a voice for God. I want to be a voice of God. That when I open my mouth to sing, that when I prepare myself to minister on any instrument, when I sit to write songs, it will be as commanded. Help me in the name of Jesus. Help me to become what you can use. Help me to become what you can use. Help me to qualify so that as batons are being transferred in the spirit realm, I will not be passed over. I won't be passed over. Like Eliab, Shammah, and Abinadab, I will not be passed over when you are looking for an instrument that you can use. In my local assembly, I choose to stand for you. I choose to minister for you. I choose to stop being an entertainer. In the name of Jesus, I choose to stop playing that I may begin to prophesy. Lord, you called David when he was young. You called Asa when he was young. You have asked me to come. Lord, pick me up. I want you to tell him about your spiritual lives. Tell him about challenges you are having with Bible study, challenges you are having with prayer, challenges that you are having with meditation and the Word of God. And tell him, Lord, I don't want to be an empty vessel. I don't want to be an empty vessel. I want to be a minister of God. My Bible study life, help me. My prayer life, help me. Meditation in the Word of God, help me. The practice of the Word of God, help me. Let me be the message. Let me not just preach. And I'm separate and separated from what I'm preaching. Let me leave it first. Let it be my own first. Let me not be a borrowed equipment. Let me not be a borrowed instrument that you must return after you have used. I want to be yours. Lord, help me in all my spiritual disciplines. Come and make my heart your home. Come and be everything I own and have. Search me through and through. Until I become a home for you. I don't want to be a conduit of wrong spirits. I want to be separated unto the Holy Spirit. For every sound has a meaning in the spirit realm. Let only sounds that you approve be what I'm sounding. I want to be a fragrance of life unto life to those I minister to. I don't want to be a stench of death unto death. Lord, I've come out before you to be counted. Count me. Count me in. I've come out to be counted. Keep me in. Beyond me, tie me to yourself. Tie me to yourself in such a way it will not be possible again to serve any other thing else except you. Tie me to yourself. Bind me to yourself. My heart is prone to wander away. Let me be yours and yours alone. Yours to command. Yours to control. Yours to use. Yours to send. Yours to keep. Make me yours alone. Even in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep me in you. Keep me for you. Keep me in your strength alone. Show me the ways of ministry. Show me the ways Jesus would have done it by the Holy Spirit. Show me the ways Jesus would have done it. How Jesus would have worked out this ministry if he were here. Show it to me. Deliver me from peer pressure. Deliver me from being afraid of men. Help me to do the things that are right. Deliver me from the world. Let me not be worldly any longer. Let me not be a worldly person. For the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. Do this for me, Father. Is any amongst us here who needs cleansing specially? Who has been constantly touching sin? I want you to particularly beg him and ask him to purge you and to set you free. You are here amongst the people outside. Things have not been all right between you and God. I want you to tell him, Lord, please. I've accepted it is you I will serve. Deliver me from being a servant of sin. I want to stop serving sin. I want to serve you and you alone. Even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father. Glory, glory, glory to your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, I pray for everyone who is outside here. I pray that you be jealous over the plans and purposes that you have proposed for their lives before the foundation of the world. And for that reason, Lord, arise to their help in the name of Jesus. Make ministers out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Out of every life that is kneeling down here, Lord, make a minister out of every life in the name of Jesus. I pray that in the holiness of your jealousy, that you keep them for yourself. In the name of Jesus, you keep them for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, is there any challenge any of them is having? Privately, personally? Lord, I pray you help them. The same way, Lord, you prove your love and you prove your approval to a person by being present with the person. Lord, as they ascend from this, their kneeling down position, begin to be with them. In the name of Jesus, begin to walk with them. Begin to guide them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, affliction will not arise a second time again. I pray for them in the name of Jesus. Whatever that has entrapped them before now, you will strengthen them against it. In the name of Jesus. Whatever that makes them to be afraid and not stand up for you in the place where they minister, in the choirs where they officiate, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you will break such thing in the name of Jesus. According to the word of God that says, shall come to pass on that day, and this is that day, that his burden shall be lifted up from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. I decree that everything that has kept you a compromiser, it is therefore broken in the name of Jesus. Forward ever for you, backward never in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. Let us be seated and return to our seats. God bless you. Before we go on a short break and then we'll come back for our classes that we promised you that we'll continue today, the workshop sessions that we started yesterday. If you have questions, I want us to take it between now and 12 o'clock, okay? So that we can take a short break, then we'll go for the classes. I'm hopeful that by 1 o'clock we should be done today. Because I have just a single teaching session and I've taking it except for questions. Yes, ma'am. Yes, she has a question there.
Praise the Lord. Say, I pick a word from you when I came in. You were referring to a songwriter that says, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. So, and I remember a portion in the Bible that says, if one refuses to worship God, that he will raise a stone to do that. So I believe if God can decide to use a stone, then he can use anything. So I want you to shed more light on that.
A round of applause. Thank you. Very, very thoughtful interjection there. Thank you. God bless you. My sister, you are correct. God can use anything. But God can't use anything for ministry. I said God can't use anything for ministry. God can use anything for anything. He can use somebody to bless you with money. The person may even be a pagan. You understand? Somebody may be driving and God will enter the person and say, maybe you need to leave that place now. And when there are no people, an angel can be driving a car. And will come and take you away from there. But you see, when it comes to ministry, God can use their standards when it comes to ministry. And that's what I meant. You can see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 2 downwards. The qualifications for a minister is there. Also, I think Titus chapter 1. No, we are going to read. I'm not just coming again. We will read it. I said 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications for ministry is there. 1 Timothy 3, from verse 1. Yes? What does it say? Whoever desires to be an overseer,
he desires
a good work.
To be above reproach.
A minister of God is to be above reproach. Not that you are known as the gossip of the century. You understand? Or the whoremonger of our time. You know a whoremonger, that's an immoral person. Okay? Or a combative person, fighter. Any small thing, you are ready to argue, you are ready to fight. That can't be a minister. Yes? Go on. It must be above reproach. When you stand to minister, there should be nothing that anybody in the congregation can hold against you that is true. They can hold things against you if they have issues. You understand? But it is your duty to make sure that not a single thing out of whatever anybody holds against you is true. Okay? Go ahead.
Faithful to his wife.
A minister must be faithful to his wife or
temperate.
To her husband. There must be self-control.
Temperate, self-controlled, respectable.
Yes, they must be respectable.
Hospitable.
They must be hospitable.
Able to teach.
They must be able to teach.
Not given to drunkenness.
They must not be wine bibbers.
Not violent but gentle.
They must not be violent, but they must be gentle.
Not quarrelsome.
They must not be quarrelsome.
Not a lover of money.
They must not be lovers of money. Not. Lord, should I tell them?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things maybe our time more, our time more. What the next thing? He must not be a lover of money. Yes.
He must manage his own family well.
He must manage his own family well.
And see that his children obey him.
And see that his or her children obeys them. They are under subjection.
And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect.
Yes.
If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of church?
Yes.
God's church.
Yes.
It must not be a recent convert.
It mustn't be a new convert. You can sing. Come. Okay. Then suddenly, soon and very soon, we are going to see the king and he's not going anywhere. And he's singing soon and very soon. It mustn't be a new convert. No. If he's a new convert and he has desire to be in the choir, let him grow up for a while first. Why mustn't he be a new convert?
Oh, he may be conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil.
Because he may become proud, you understand? And just as pride makes Satan to fall, he may fall away. Okay?
He must also have a good reputation with outsiders.
He must also have a good reputation with outsiders.
So that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap.
Yes. I mean, it won't be good that somebody is ministering on the altar, police people have come, then they drag him away from the altar. Will it be good? Not for the sake of the gospel. That would not be good. Yes?
In the same way, deacons are to be.
Yes?
Deacons are to be worthy of respect.
Yes?
Sincere.
Not double tongued.
Yes.
Not indulging in much wine.
They must not be drunkards.
And not pursuing dishonest gain.
And they must not pursue dishonest gain, whether in church or outside church.
They must keep hold of the deep truth of the faith with a clear conscience.
Mm.
They must first be tested.
Let them be proved first.
And if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons.
Then you can appoint them.
In the same way,
yes,
women are to be worthy of respect.
Yes.
Not malicious.
That is their wives, the wives of deacons. Yes.
Not malicious talkers.
Yes.
But temperate and trustworthy in everything.
Mm.
A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served will gain an excellent standard and great assurance in the faith of Jesus Christ.
May God give increase to his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So you understand, man. So God can use anything. But God can't use anything to minister. Yes, ma'am.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I believe prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. Am I right, sir?
It is. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit.
Spirit. Yes. So, and not everybody has this gift.
Yes.
So as a minstrel, this gift is paramount with what we've learned today.
Yes.
So in the case whereby you don't have this gift, what can you do?
A round of applause. If you look at that passage that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, I wish that you desire what now? Spiritual gifts. Especially that you may be able to prophesy. Ask and it shall be given to you. Simple. That's what you do. You ask, it will be given to you. Since you're a minister and God is looking for those who will prophesy with music, he will give it. Since he gives all things. You understand? So if you don't have that gift, you ask for it. And if I were you, as a music minister, I will ask you to ask for prophecy both in music and in teaching. Do you know why? Do you know why we don't have spiritual choirs? Because choir meetings shouldn't just even be about choir practice. You understand? I think that's what you were teaching the heads of choirs yesterday, Abby. I'm sorry. Oh, you are talking about it today. Okay. Okay, so normally the leader of the choir should be the pastor of the choir. Pastor over what? His sheep. Who are his sheep? Choir members. I have never led any group that I cannot pastor. Are you getting it now? I found out that that's the secret. Once people see you as someone that can minister to them, they will easily do what to. They will follow you. But when all you keep doing is, I'm the head in this choir, there's nobody, nothing anybody can do. They will show you that they can do more than 10 things. Maybe you are the head, you'll be making noise. When it's time to frustrate you. You understand? But when and where you cater for their souls, when and where every time you open, you come for meetings, when you open their Bible, your Bible, and say, let us open our Bibles, they are happy because they know again that God will speak to them. When you say, no, this is the way we are going, they will know because we are not mates. Are you getting it now? But choir leaders are even less spiritual than many choir members. So even when you want to bring good songs and all that, the choir leader is the one that says, no, let's be creative. There's this reggae that the Holy Spirit was telling me about. Holy Spirit telling you reggae. Except you don't know that those Rastafarians worship something else other than God. You understand? It's one of those mixed religions of Jamaica. You know, Jamaicans were Africans that were part of the slave trade. So all of them went with the idols. And they mixed with all manner of. And from there now they have their religion. And that's the thing that's doing you. Then it's paying you that everyone you're thinking you have no dreadlocks that you can shake. You understand? So, thank you. Very good question. If you do not have the gift of prophecy, you ask for, you desire it, and God will give you. Okay? Particularly because everyone who must stand to minister before people, what are you doing? You are prophesying. So, it must be on the basis of a gifting. Most of what I'm telling you is not what I know. It's the Holy Spirit speaking. And this is prophecy. You understand? So, it's the same concept. Okay?
The Lord bless you. Thank you for that question. Yes? Let's take Williams first, then we take Joshua.
Sir, this which you just ended with, that
yes,
the teaching you are teaching is prophecy.
Yes.
So, for that reason, I want you to explain prophecy in itself, because if we look at prophecy now, you say there's edification, there's exaltation, and there's comfort.
Yes.
But the type we used to know is the type that foretells the future.
Okay.
So please help us to understand prophecy so that those who already have it, that do not know they have it, can have a clearer picture
of
what it is.
Thank you. It is well. Foretelling is also part of prophecy. But that's not the whole of a prophecy. I feel peculiarly sad when all our prophets, all they prophesy about is 2019 election. The Senate needs to be careful. They need to be to pray one. Somebody will die amongst them. All of those kind of things. Things that have no bearing. You know, are no basis for anything. Prophesying the next president and all of those kind of prophecies. Any religious prophet, any white garment prophet, any spiritist church prophet can prophesy those things. Okay? Anybody can. All you need to do is go and look at those mirror that they look at. You know? Prophecy is both foretelling and forthtelling. Forthtelling is what God is saying when? Now. Foretelling is what God is saying about the future. Okay? Now, but it's not just foretelling or forthtelling. It is also edification. What we have done so far, these 2 days, is edification. And it is also exhortation, which includes reproof, rebuke, okay? And warnings, which is also part of what we have done these 2 days, okay? It is also comfort. That is to encourage, okay, someone and cheer someone up that don't worry, God has interest in you, which we have also done. You understand? So, when God is giving you songs to help cheer people up, to help people have more faith in God, or that whatever they have been through, there's this very lovely song by Don Moen. It's not Don Moen, it's not the only one I listen to. It's just one of the, because he's somebody I've been with for a very long time, you understand? And so I could analyze his music. That's why I use him a lot as examples. But I listen to several other people. There's this song about, Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. That's comfort. Everything that I've been through, things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my what? Is it this? Dreams and all of my plans, my heart and my hands are lifted to you. So if I have a terrible past, that would be a very good song for me. Don't you think so? God, just let it all serve you. You know, Lord. Okay, so it's comfort, it's exhortation, it's edification. Okay? So when God is speaking to you about a song, find where it is. It could be a warning as we have sung today. Don't forget those songs too. All those are our songs. Don't forget them. When a choir begins to minister like that, then something good will happen. Then it will be ministration. It won't be performance anymore. Okay? So that's the difference. To start seeing vision, sister, God is sending somebody to you. Tell him, yes, it's my son. And you're announcing all that. Then, the way prophecy is in the Old Testament, that's not the way it is in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it initiates actions. That is, somebody won't know anything, and the prophet will tell him, this is what God is saying, and he will go and do it. But Jesus has come, and he has died. Okay? In the New Testament, it is confirmatory. Okay? A prophet cannot tell you something God hadn't told you before. Amen. And if The issue is I don't even know how God speaks. Let's deal with that. Okay? But the point is that in the Old Testament, for instance, the prophet can say, thus says the Lord to Israel. But in the New Testament, when Prophet Agabus came, and there's thus says the Holy Spirit, the man who owns this belt, the Holy Spirit says that he will be bound if he goes to Jerusalem. Was it new? God had told Paul the same thing. Agabus only came to confirm what God said to Paul. So that's the difference between them. Thank you. Very good question. That's you.
Talking about the aspect of praise and worship, the first thing is somebody said that we can't worship God just by just singing a song. That worship has to do with bringing in something that will cost you. David said, I cannot give unto God, offer unto God what has not cost me. His opponent was talking about worship. So he said, when he was saying, he said, present your body a living sacrifice. Now he said, this is your acceptable. That means you tell God that your eyes, oh, this is my eyes, Lord, it will no longer be wandering. Lord, this is my mouth. It will no longer, you bring it bit by bit and chop it on the altar of sacrifice. And but now the worship we see today is somehow like more of like you just say something about God. Than, you know, there's nothing you're giving. There's nothing connecting. So I want to find out if that is in line, in the sense that what we know as worship is a slow song, a song like this,
that. So, but you see, that we call it worship in church doesn't mean that that is all worship is about. Our entire lives are meant to worship. Do you understand? We are meant to worship God. We're created to worship God. We're saved to worship God. Okay, so there's more to worship than singing. That doesn't make the song less than worship. Are you getting it now? Particularly if it's coming from a sincere and a genuine heart that is willing and ready to change. That after it sings the song, it will practice the act. Are you getting it now? So, but to reduce worship to just a slow song is not correct. But it doesn't also mean that a slow song, that we are dedicating ourselves to God, or we are worshiping Him, or we are praising Him, or we are singing to Him because of who He is also not an act of worship. It is. Okay? I think it's just semantics. I think it's just use of words.
Okay. The other thing is, for a while I was trying to find myself, I saw that I was singing songs like nobody could show them the way, you know, singing one word from God can change your whole life. So I was singing so many of those songs, and, you know, I remember one time somebody came in here and was saying that person is a psalmist or something. I think Shegun was here. It was somebody just, that was Reverend Ezekiah. So he was saying something. So somehow, for me, I found out that every time I go out, it's not like, I don't sing like the choir or something. My songs are majorly instructions, warnings, heavy warnings, and things like that. So, coming to it, is it that, for someone like me, is it that is, how will I put it, praise and worship and all that. I know that after, I think just some years ago, like 4 years ago, that was when I knew I was a prophetic minstrel. So that was when I knew, I'm prophetic. So I started understanding what I've been living in for a while. But looking at this praise and worship thing, is it that one can only, maybe God's design is saying that, okay, this particular area is what I'm going to be in. Or sometimes when I look at praise and worship, sometimes I don't want to, you know, dabble into it. So, but I don't know if I am right or wrong, or maybe... And it seems you have also seen me over the years.
It's a good question. But you see, like we said yesterday, career is not a calling. Career is a matter of choice. Calling is based on God's premeditated plans. Okay? So you can't even choose that, you know what, I'll be doing praise. I'll be singing worship. You can only become what God instructs you to be if you want to be correct. And you're already that, so keep at it. You understand? Now, for most of us who sing church songs and... Okay, for most of us who sing maybe praise or worship, or then once a while, say the choir wants to render a song, I pray that from today onwards, what will determine your songs will be what the Holy Spirit instructed. Just as you saw us explaining all this while, okay? If it's what the Holy Spirit instructed, you have, during choir ministrations, apart from the period where choirs are supposed to lead us to God in praise or in worship, since that is the structure of the churches, okay? But in choir ministrations, which I think they also give time for, you will now begin to hear God's actual message. Don't forget, we praise God for what He has done, okay? But we worship Him for who He is, okay? So that's standard. But then that doesn't mean that God doesn't have what to say to the church through His minstrels. And that's why the churches, even despite all their issues, still leaves room for that, if you notice. Whatever then the choir does with it, they are now the ones that sabi. But there's already that platform that the choir has the opportunity to tell God, to tell the church what God is saying. And if the choir is spiritual, many of the times, without even knowing what the pastor is ministering on, it will agree. If it is the same Holy Spirit the pastor is listening to, that the choir is listening to, and I know that there's no another Holy Spirit. So even if the pastor is not listening to any Holy Spirit, at least let the choir listen. The church might still be helped. 5 minutes is a long time to change people. Amen. I see your hand, sister. Let's take her first.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But in line with what you just said, in a situation where a particular theme is given for that month, and
a
theme for every month.
Yes.
And it's either month of favor, blessing, prosperity, breakthrough. There's no time for, you know, tripping in those songs you just said. Now, what do you do? Because you must sing. If it's blessing, you have to sing all the songs.
A round of applause for this sister. I want to ask a question, Sister Brugbe. Can God be caged? If think if I'm a choir leader and you ask me to sing a month of blessing, I will sing. And you will cry. And I will not go outside of blessing. I will teach you how. Since it's month of blessing, we can sing on what to do if we want to be blessed, right or wrong. We can sing on dangers of blessing. We can sing on why some people are not blessed. Do you understand? So you still pass your message and you are within their guidelines. Brother Shagun, you want to say something? I thought I saw your hand. Is it an answer? Okay. You want to add to it? Okay.
Most of the time, just to add to what you have said, we have issues with being diligent in searching for songs that will speak the mind of God, and yet it will not look like you are out of what the pastor is saying. Sometimes we are so lazy to also sit down with the Holy Spirit to compose or to be inspired by Him to give us songs that will speak the mind of God. Now, one of the things we said yesterday in our own workshop is there's this strong of the world system on church music because we want to catch everybody. So we walk into their styles and all of that, and it has been there for a long time, even before so many of us were born. So we came in to meet what we are seeing. So it looks like there's no other music than the one that the church, the world has influenced the church to do. Do you understand? So we begin to sing like, there's no other music. But I tell you, if you sit down with the Holy Spirit and you do not allow the ingredient of the world to inform or to influence what you are doing, I tell you, He will give you songs that is purely from heaven. There are songs that angels sing, and I tell you, those songs, they are thousands. Thousands.
Because if all these years before man was made, they have been singing.
So,
and now they are still singing. And then they will still be singing.
So who tell you God cannot release one of them for you?
I'll be just one. And it'll be a hit.
So,
and it can be about favor, about breakthrough. If I sing about breakthrough for you, I will stay within what they have asked me. It's not, you know, because, like I said, song ministers and music ministers, music ministers and word ministers, they are all ministers. It's just the tool that they use that is different. So if you ask me now, for instance, and you say, I should come and sing or teach on, say, it is my season for breakthrough. I just hope that when I have come, you will call me again. Because I will talk about breakthrough, but I will talk about the things and things behind breakthrough. It will be deeper than what you are thinking of. And if you are thinking of raising offering after I have ministered, you may not be able to raise anything. You understand? But I will not go outside of breakthrough. Except the Holy Spirit instructs that. That's not what I want to talk about. Don't mind them. You understand? But if you didn't say that, I will sing breakthrough. In fact, where you don't even think that there can be breakthrough from. So breakthrough can come from here too. Okay? Inspiration from Him is what counts. When He gives it, He gives it. He says, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to gainsay nor resist. They won't be able to outwit you, because it will come from the wisdom of God. Thank you. Good question, Sister Deborah. I'm sorry? Oh, she asked a question. Are you from the same church? Okay. The same spirit, okay? Yes, do we still have any other question? Please, how many more people have questions so that we can break into our workshop? Okay, sister, you still have questions. Who else has questions? Brahmaik has. Who else has? So that we know how many people are left with questions. So that we can use our time judiciously. Nobody. Don't boot after now. Don't boot that you have questions. Okay, so nobody else apart from the two of them. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What can a person do if he discovers that he's on both sides, like as in ministry, he's both a minister of the word, also a minister of music?
Okay.
What can he do? Because I've discovered that I'm on both sides, but not until this training, I never took music serious. That's why I used to sing it the way I used.
Okay.
The one I take very serious and I've been serious with it is the word. So, for someone who now discovers that he's on both sides, what can he do? Should he consistently keep up with the two? Can he cope? Or should he leave one for one?
A round of applause. He said, both music and teaching. Shego, you are both music and teaching. I am too, but let Shego answer.
Yes. It's actually a very tasking one. And I tell you, if you are not diligent, if you are not waiting and making with the Holy Spirit, before you knew it, you are gone. Do you understand? And if you are not disciplined. Now, you can keep up with the two. You can keep up with the two. Several times I've been invited to minister to choristers, retreats and all of that. And at the same time, I'll be required to minister in song, especially in my local assembly. Do you understand? So you can keep up with the two. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us, both to will and to do it, is very good pleasure. But just like we have been taught today, you must be someone that is close to the word of God. Do you understand? Your relationship with the Holy Spirit must be very strong, because you are going to look like an alien. What they celebrate, you will not celebrate. Do you understand? Because you have an understanding. And you have also responsibility. There are some meetings that sincerely you may not be able to go. Do you understand? So you can keep up with the two.
Do you understand? Then also, did Moses kept up with the two?
Okay? Suddenly we found that Prophet Moses was also a song minister. And he kept up with it too, so you can. Okay?
I want to bless God for this platform. I wish all my members or choir heads were here.
Okay.
Members. But yesterday when I got back home, I was actually teaching my husband what I learned. And, you know, he was saying, this thing is fine too, if you take it back to them. Now, I want to know since I now know these things, now how do I take it back to them without, you know, causing any havoc?
A round of applause. Very strong question. Very, very strong question. My sister, are you a choir leader in church? Or you're a member of the choir? Okay. When God cannot find leaders, he picks members. No, be so. That's what he does. Begin with praying. Begin how? Don't change anything until you sense in your spirit that you have prayed enough and it's time to talk. And pray more. At least you have somebody who agrees with you. Your husband agrees with you. He says, whatever thing both of you shall agree, I will do for you. Is it not so? So you can agree with God over the lives of with your husband over the lives of people, over what God will do in the lives of people, particularly if what God will do in their lives will bring God glory. So you begin with praying. Okay? And then you begin with personally practicing. So, by the time you're bringing it to them, it's brought like a suggestion. But then, interestingly also, this meeting is not a once and for all meeting. You understand? Constantly too will be calling you. We don't know how God wants to work it out yet. We don't want it to be too far. We have a plan of maybe thrice a year or something. And we also don't want it to be too common, to be too close. You get? But as the details will come to us, we'll let you know. Okay? You want to say something?
The choir leader was here yesterday. Was he? Okay. All right.
Oh, the choir leader of the same church.
Of the same church.
So already now, see now, you even already have you already have an accomplice
that you can
in your choir leader.
And also, I think one of the things I learned when I joined a choir, when a choir that was then led by Brother Joshua, about maybe like 15 years ago or thereabout, was what we call choir retreats. I don't know if you could work that out with God, Brother Godwin, you know. Then secondly, that's going to really help.
Yeah.
Then majorly,
it will really bridge the gap.
Yes. Then for you, just like they have said, you have to take action steps. I'm going to say two things now. Action steps in making sure that these things that have been taught here, you begin to trust the Holy Spirit to work it out in you. The songs that you take or they introduce to the church, you must be sure that they are songs that are from the Holy Spirit. Then, if you are now going to minister the song, you must be prepared. I remember when I was younger, because I'm still young, far back as a teenager, I remember then that God, there's this burden that the songs that I used to introduce to the choir then, they were songs that just, you know, brings down the Holy Spirit. So, I didn't know how it was happening, but I knew that I was not giving to song that would just make people clap. If it's not burning in my heart yet, it is not a song to be presented, you know. And then that singled me out, you know, and gives me a platform to minister to others too. Do you understand? That's also very, very important.
Thank you for that. That is very strong. Thank you for that.
I think you came here, some people, relating with them constantly will also be very good. Challenges, definitely you have challenges that you might not be able to deal with. You call on a friend or two, or ask us. Personally, someone like me, I can visit. You know, it's part of ministry. You just start doing, you know, I visit you. You know, you visit, you know, I want to say something funny that you cook me some soup, but that's...
She will not give you soup, Joshua.
No, she's my friend also. But definitely I'll visit to encourage you and to strengthen what you have heard. But I also believe people who allow, we should be able to create a WhatsApp group that would
you can ask questions and all that.
So you can ask questions, we can raise prayer points, we can do things, we can send you messages and all that, so that we'll always be together. So
music ministry.
It's very, very important. Keep the fire burning.
Please, when we create this WhatsApp group, anyway, we will create it and invite you since we have all your phone numbers. Please, all those environmental knowledge, don't bring it there. You know those nonsense that people pack up and down. This one is happening at E4. It has nothing to do with ministry. That's nothing to do to help edify your spirit.
Or send this thing to 40 people.
Let's keep the channel open so that people that want to learn and want to be edified and strengthened can have a platform that they can use. Not where we dump junks. Okay? Please. Okay? Thank you for that. I think we have just one more question left. Then we'll break into our groups. Brother Mike? Sir? I thought we were Mike. Why have I always called you Mike? I always answered. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Brother Clement.
Yes.
Not Brother Mike.
I want to ask this question because it bothers me since yesterday. What differentiates a song from another?
What differentiates a song
from another? I think it's the beat.
It's the
beat.
The beat.
The rhythm of the song.
Okay.
So, from what I heard yesterday, what makes a song a reggae is the beat. What makes a song a hip hop song is the beat.
Yes.
And most of us, some of us who do write, sometimes, if not this platform, I didn't know that there's a difference. There's a difference between a Christian beat and so I want to ask, please, can you really differentiate between them? This is the Christian beat and this is the worldly beat.
Okay, thank you. Round of applause. Did you hear him? Did these people hear him? He's talking about what differentiates music is the beat. You understand? And he will laugh because he's an instrumentalist. Oh no? That he didn't know before now that the beats for Christian songs should be different from worldly songs. So he wanted us to expatiate on it. Praise the Lord. Brother Shegun, can you please sit on the drum set? Don't worry, you are not beating anything. Just sit. I want to explain something. Before we start saying, oh yeah, write down. Boo, boo, boo. That's beat Christian number one. No, not necessarily. You see, when we say that God wants minstrels, my brother, are you a drummer? Okay, you're not. You're just asking about beats. Okay, you're a songwriter. Okay. You see, if the person on the instrument, either drum set or keyboard and all that, if they are minstrels, if you've written your song, I think there's something that you call, is this choir or something? That's what determines what sound. Abi? Okay. Oh, you want to do the same way, that's when you score. Okay, but how do you determine if there's lyrics or a song that has been written? How do you determine? Is it that sometimes the songwriter supplies the sound he's getting, or he can ask you to develop? Okay, you could develop. Okay, or either of the two can work. You see, if the singer wants to sing to the glory of God, as he's seated there, the Holy Spirit will tell him the beat to beat. Are you following me? Huh? When we were here, I don't know whether you came on time, when we started talking about instruments, and I had to read some places in Psalm. You see a Psalm of David to be sung on an instrument of so-so-so. On this instrument. In fact, some they'll say, to the tune of this. So, God doesn't just supply words. He supplies sound. Are you getting it now? Because that's what he wants to hear. God knows all the idolatrous beats. Does he not know them? If you are inspired by the Holy Spirit, you will never beat any of them. You will never. Not even by mistake. Because you are somebody who ministers. You understand? So, when you are there, you know what you are doing is you are ministering. And you are ministering to who? God. So, you will not mix disco beats. with, even if the song is fast, like a praise song, it won't mix the beat. How will it happen? I don't know. But I know it won't happen. Okay, because the Holy Spirit, who owns the ministry, who is the inspirer of all men, will have inspired you on what he wants you to do. That's the answer, sir. Thank you. A round of applause. Yes, you can.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8050, 080-813-8536,
080-745-5817, 081-409-9131, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life